pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege and opportunity I have to share your word today. And those that will be sharing it and looking at it on the way of the internet, I pray as well that your hearts will also be opened and that you can, that the word of God can speak to your heart as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thinking about the song Nate and Abby sang, as far as the east is from the west, to realize how far that would be, it's a big circle. The east from the west makes a big circle. And that tells me that God's mercy is everlasting. His mercy is everlasting. His forgiveness is everlasting. Even during the tribulation period, he allows for repentance. Even during that time, his mercy is everlasting. From the east to the west. Aren't you glad your sins have been forgiven today? Absolutely. We may not always understand how our Lord brings about his will in the world in which we live. We don't always can understand how he does it, but it's all right. We just know that he's in control, and that's all that matters. His authority covers not just the world affairs, but he reaches down into our lives. That's really what I want to talk about, is our lives. We know he's in charge of the world, but I want you to know he also wants to help you with your life, every one of you. God had a plan before you were born. He already had a plan for you. And then when you were born, God gave you some special talents, some special gifts. He gave each and every one of you one. Y'all have one. Y'all got a special gift. The question I ask is, are you using it for God's glory or for your own benefit? We all got talents. We all got gifts. Are you using it for God's glory? He gave you each and every one a special gift. We as believers, we trust and do our best to obey the Lord. We try to walk in his will. We try to do what pleases him rather than looking after the world and following worldly pursuits or worldly desires. When we got saved and invited Jesus into our heart, we have an eternal destiny called heaven. But those of you who have never made that arrangement, you need to do so. If you're watching this by internet, you need to invite Jesus Christ to come and live in your heart and make heaven your eternal destiny. In the book of Psalms we read earlier, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. God has a full right and he has power to do whatever he chooses. Doesn't have to worry about any interference from anybody else. He is in total control. He controls everything. Now, I know there's many people in the world that don't believe this. They think God controls some things, certain things, but I can tell you that they are not in charge. And just recently, have you seen some of the placards that some of them were holding? My body, my choice. Not your body, not your choice. It's not yours. We were all bought with a price. We may look at the world and we see a lot of things happening that doesn't seem like God's in charge. But I can tell you, he really is. He's watching as well. And just because he doesn't always interfere with what's going on doesn't mean he's not watching. Now, sometimes we think he should get involved more than he does, but don't you worry. God has his time when he will get involved. It's called the tribulation period. And if you haven't read much about it, that's going to be a rough time. And when he does, and when it starts, it'll continue till it's finished. So just because we don't always see him intervening, it doesn't mean he's still not in control. It cannot be evaluated by the circumstances that we see. It's not evaluated by our understanding of his actions. But we can understand everything he can do and will do by his precious word. If you want to know what God's will is, study the Bible. That's where his will is displayed. It's there. It's in the scriptures. And the more you study them, the more you know about God. The prophet Jeremiah came to this conclusion, chapter 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Now, that little phrase there is probably one of the reasons why I decided to do the anointing service at the end today. That little phrase, nothing is too difficult for you. Are you trusting God for something in your life? Nothing, remember, is too difficult for him. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Nothing is too difficult for him. If we truly believe that God's arm can reach everywhere and that nothing is too difficult for him, it certainly would change how we would live, shouldn't it? Our doubts would be silenced. Our confidence in his promises of his word would increase. Instead of becoming discouraged over the state of the world, we would be encouraged and take rest in knowing that the truth of Scripture is put in our hope in God. That's where it is. It's not anywhere else. So I'm going to give you three distinctions in God's will. That's why I told you to get some paper. There's just three things for you to consider about God's will. When we consider what God is doing, how is his will being worked out? There's three ways. First of all, we have God's predestined will. Predestined will. Let me give you a few examples of his predestined will. There are certain things that he set in motion that will continue and will never change, such as when Adam and Eve sinned, he brought curses. How many of you know what weeds are? How many of you have had to deal with weeds in your life? Huh? Do you know that's part of the curse? It's the curse. He cursed the ground. He cursed the ground. That's why we got weeds growing. Weeds, if weeds were money, we'd all be millionaires. Okay? But he cursed the ground. Understand, he cursed the ground. Do you see that'll never be changed until one day when he creates a new heaven and a new earth? So you see, that'll never change. Do you know that he set the boundaries of the oceans? He said, this is where you'll stop. This is it. He set the boundaries of the oceans. And they've been set there ever since. Ever since. He made time. And he set that in motion. There's some things that will not change. He has predetermined it, and nothing or no one can do anything about that. He set the tribulation period, and when it starts, he'll finish it. Nothing will stop that. It's already set in motion. He predestined it to be in motion. That's what will happen. And he will determine that it will happen that way. So then the second thing we're going to look at is God's moral will. His moral will. Well, we can probably best describe that by his righteous standards. Those that he revealed in the scriptures for us, such as in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. Now, my neighbor and I have had discussions about the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament. And we've come to this conclusion, the New Testament's harder than the Old Testament ever was. How's that? Well, the Lord said it this way. If you look after a woman to lust after, you've already did what? You've already committed adultery in your heart. Now, in the Old Testament, if you were caught with adultery, they did what? They stoned you. If you were caught, some of them didn't get caught. But God, the Lord always knows who's doing it. But those who got caught got stoned. But you see, the New Testament's much stronger, much harder. Because it deals with your heart, deals with your attitude and your character and your desires. It deals with your desires. In the Old Testament, if you're caught killing somebody, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The Lord says if you've already had a desire in your heart to kill somebody, you've already killed them in your heart. You hear me? Are you listening to me? That's much harder to live by than the Old Testament was. That covers more territory than the Old Testament covered. Because it covers your heart. It covers your attitude and your character, your desire. What's your desire? You ever been mad enough to kill somebody? That's what it deals with. Anger out of control. Much harder to live by. So we have his Ten Commandments as an example. For them, they prescribe what we're supposed to do and not do. And so that we can live as what God desires. If we choose to obey his commands, of course, we'll be able to enjoy his benefits. Those, however, who decide to rebel will pay the price. And usually in wrong decisions, wrong choices, and usually end up paying the price. Ended up costing you more than you were willing to pay. End up staying longer than you wanted to stay. There's a bunch of other things we could add to that, but that's what sin happens in your life when sin comes, is in control and you rebel against God. So thirdly, God has a desired will. God's desired will. These are the things that the Lord desires for us. He wants us to walk obedient with him and seek his guidance. And the only way we'll know his desired will is by reading the Bible, by believing the Bible, by heeding the word of God. It's where we discover who God is and what he finds is favorable and how he wants us to live. Those are the things that's contained in God's Bible. Now, how many would you like to have God's best in your life, you see? Good, better, and best. Remember in school, it was good, better, and best. With God, you can have the best. But you see, sometimes people rebel against God because they just don't like what some of the things he comes up with and says, "How this is how you should live, but I don't want to live that way." Well, then how are you going to enjoy his benefits if you don't want to live that way? You can't enjoy his benefits. And if you're a believer, what you're going to enjoy is his chastisement. If you don't listen and you don't do what the word of God says, you will find his chastisement. Because he chastises those believers because he loves you. He's not willing that any of us should perish. So believers are chastised. And of course, those who don't know Jesus Christ, they are left to their own wills, to the things they do. Whatsoever a man soweth, the Bible says, that shall he also reap. So if you're a heathen today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to reap what you've sown. We as believers will be chastised. And so he knows the right path for each of us. He always does what is best for us. Life is sometimes confusing. Sometimes we never have to make decisions without his guidance, and that's a problem. We think we can make decisions without his guidance, and that's not good. We should always ask him for help. He invites us to come to him in every situation. Let me give you a scripture for that. Matthew 7:7. That's part of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you." Notice, these are things you have to do. These are things you must do. You must ask. You must seek and you must knock. These are things you need to do. Somebody can't do them for you. You need to do those. That's something you have to do. And then we have God's personal will. Not only does our Lord rule the world, but he also has plans for our lives. And I'm going to give you three categories for our lives. Three things here you need to know about God's personal will for us. God has an intentional will. Now, this is what he intends for us. His plans were placed before we were born. They include the time and place of our birth, Aren't you glad that you were born in America? Think about that. Where you were born, where your place of birth, the family to which you were born. He's given you skills and abilities and spiritual gifts he has entrusted to us, our vocations, and many, many other details. And they begin very early in life. And we should ask God to direct our choices, relying on limited human knowledge or maybe emotions. You should never make decisions when your emotions are high or you're having problems with your emotions. Shouldn't be making a lot of decisions then. And if we are only interested in our own desires, it will lead us the wrong way. Ignoring God and determining our own course never brings the satisfaction that we crave. Instead, it leads us into our Heavenly Father's chastisement, as I shared before. That's why people seek other things in life, because they're not fulfilled. If you seek the Lord and His best, your life will be satisfied. You'll be content. Why are so many people today not content? They're not content. Are you content? You should be content. When we have Jesus, we should all be content. We have everything we need. We may not have everything we want. Did you catch that? But we have everything we need. So why aren't we content? Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what the scripture says. It's great gain. Secondly, his circumstantial will. There's times in our lives when we fail, and there's times when we've made wrong decisions. It's not what God desired for us, but he doesn't cast us away. He doesn't cast us out. He continues to work in our lives through these circumstances. Sometimes he may remove the consequences of our sin, but there's other times he'll just leave them right where they're at. Remember the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh? That reminded me of that situation. Sometimes God sees a need to leave it right where it is. Could have God delivered Paul from his thorn in the flesh? Absolutely, he could. And Paul knew he could. And three times Paul said, I have asked you to take it away from me. And each time the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. In other words, I'm not interested in taking it from you, Paul, because it's for your good that I've left it in place. I've left this thorn in your side for a reason, to keep you humble. So you wouldn't get a big head, Paul, because you was a very smart man, a very learned man. You had a lot of talents that you used for yourself. It's time now to use those talents for me, for my glory, Paul. So he saw fit to leave that right where it was. He works for our good in order to bring us back to himself and to establish us on a path of obedience. And then thirdly, his intermediate will. That's pretty easy to understand. You see, yesterday's gone. There's nothing we can do about yesterday. Yesterday is gone. We can't not go back and change anything what happened yesterday. We can't change nothing. God's still with us. He's directing our path today. The book of James warns us not to boast about our future plans because we cannot know what tomorrow holds. Our lives are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. James 4:14 says we ought to live in complete dependence on him and say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Do you remember your parents or maybe grandparents always saying that? I do. I remember the older generation saying, well, if the Lord wills, Lord willing, they'd say, Lord willing, I'll see you next week, Lord willing. Do you remember them saying that? How often do we say that? But they always said it. They always would say, Lord willing, I'll see you next week, Roger, Lord willing. If the good Lord be willing, I'll see you next week. It's amazing to realize that the God who sovereignly rules over all of heaven and earth is interested in my individual life. We're not living in a vacuum, but we're living in the very presence of a living God who has revealed his will in his precious word, and he has promised to guide us through each day when we trust and obey him. So the question I'm asking you today, have you been living and making decisions with God's good and perfect will in mind? You know he has a will, and he has a plan for you. I want the Lord to use me the way he sees fit. Not the way I want to be used. I want to be used the way he sees fit. The way he has planned for me. The way he wants me to do. I want what he wants. Have you been ruling your own life? Have you been making your own plans? Have you been using your own gifts that God has given you to benefit yourself rather than others? If you have been, it's time for you to make a change. It's time for you to use the gifts that God has given you to help others and not yourself. Because he didn't give them to you to help yourself. And when you stand before your Creator, and he asks, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? What will you say? Well, I did this for myself. I took care of myself. Yeah, I know you did. But I didn't give it to you for that. I gave it to you to help others. I gave the gifts you have to help others. Are you helping others or are you helping yourself? That's the question you need to ask today. How many others are you helping with your gift? Or are you using it for yourself? Are you willing to yield your life to the sovereign God who holds the future in his hands? He has put your best interests in his mind and in his hands. What changes do you need to make today in order to follow God's will more obediently than you have been? Those are the questions that I'm asking today. I'm going to have the team come now as we're going to go to the Lord in prayer.